The Women of Ill Repute, with your hosts, Wendy Mesley and Maureen Holloway.
So, Wendy, this is what happens when you tell someone you're going to be talking to Michaela Watkins. They say, who? And you say, Michaela Watkins. She was on SNL. She was in The Dropout, the movie about Elizabeth Holmes. She played Rob Delaney's sister in Catastrophe. She's in You Hurt My Feelings with her doppelganger, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah. Well, and there's more, right? You go on.
Well, and then you show them her picture and they go, oh, her, I love Michaela Watkins.
Yeah, well, we love her. And she's kind of familiar when you see her face. She's kind of funny. So we do know her.
She plays a lot of best friends. And I know that Joanna Schneller, who writes for the Globe and Mail, who's been on this show. What did she say? She said Michaela projects much needed sister energy.
Yeah, like a sister as in best friend.
Yeah.
So not all sisters are like that, but she plays a lot of best friends, I think. Michaela, she's a single perimenopausal mom.
Oh, she plays one.
Well, I'll have to ask her about that. I was perimenopausal for about a week, and then that's what chemo does to you. Anyway, plays a perimenopausal mom whose daughter goes off to university. I kind of identified with that. But she leaves her to look after her ex-boyfriend, and it was shot in Hamilton.
Yeah, which makes Michaela practically Canadian. So with no further ado, welcome our almost Canadian perimenopausal sister, Michaela Watkins. Hi, Michaela.
Hello. That was very, very funny.
Well, talk about confusing actors for the roles they play.
There's a lot of crossover, let's just say that. I'm not a mom, but I'm the world's busiest aunt and godmother. And I'm not single, but I was raised by a single mom. So, and I was going through menopause when we were shooting the movie, but like a sudden version of menopause.
We sort of joke about you being sort of the underappreciated person, but here you're like the lead character, like the movie was written for you.
Yeah, in a weird way, it was written for me because that's who Lindsay Stewart and Dane Clark had in mind for their Sues. And sometimes when that happens and you read a script, you're like, well, I don't know. But this one we do. This one we love. By the time usually I get the script where somebody has written it for you or for the lead role, let's just say, it's because somebody else turned it down and there's probably a reason they turned it down.
Really?
And so with this, it was just uniquely both written with me in mind, and nobody had turned it down because I was the first to read it. And I was very, very excited about it.
Are you not the executive producer?
Yeah.
That probably.
I mean, but that came with playing the part.
So it's a Canadian production. It was shot in Hamilton. It stars local actors. We're Canadian and we're very self-effacing. And we always want to hear other people tell us what an amazing experience it was and how great Canadians are.
So, is this where I come in?
Yes, where you come in.
From Americans, yes, please.
Okay, well, I have no notes. Everybody was lovely. The food could have been a little better. No, I'm kidding. I have to talk to the executive producer about that. It was just lovely. I mean, great people. The crew was so nice. Lindsay and Dane are my kind of writer-directors. They just really are so prepared. They don't take anything for granted, and they know that they have this shot to do this, and they've thought about every aspect of it through and through. So it never felt like any scene was arbitrary or any moment felt arbitrary, especially when I watched it, and I felt like this really edited right together. It's because they were constantly thinking about, they were never resting on laurels or on false exceptionalism. They were just always humbled and hardworking and clear and collaborative. Same with the rest of the cast, same with the crew. Our AD, Aiden Shipley, most wonderful AD. I hate to even say his name because if anybody works in film listening to this, they're going to beat you up for him because he's the best.
I praise.
When you have a low budget film and you have a great AD that keeps the film on its tracks, and we only had 21 days to shoot this whole film and never loses its cool or yells at anybody or is snarky or sharp, That is a talent. I mean, that is a skill and a talent.
So do you get, this is such a stupid question, but do you get recognized now? Like I used to read the national news and someone once came up to me and said, hey, you're what's her name from The Thing, which was with sort of how I saw myself. But now you're like the big lead.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully if this gets a distribution in the U.S., it will get into more households. I start on shows, a bunch of times. I just, not movies, which is interesting. Usually I play much more character roles in movies or sidekicks. And so this is nice, but this feels like a movie version of the kind of shows I like to do and the kind of movies I like to see. But it does feel like it would speak to the audiences that hopefully I have, but maybe more audiences who just don't know that somewhere out there is a movie that is about this kind of relationship that is just a really unique relationship. And it's like almost like it's almost like a romantic comedy in a way, but not like one anybody's ever seen before.
Between you and the boyfriend who gets left behind.
The daughter's boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a buddy comedy in a way too.
Yeah. Buddy comedy, romantic comedy. I don't know how you want to call it, but you know, it's about this relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, I found it particularly interesting. Your daughter goes away. My daughter went away, and it was all, I'd call her all the time, and I would say, "Oh, hi, honey," and that's what you do in the film. Is like, but the film is about realizing that there is life beyond the kid that goes off to school. It's like looking after yourself. So, did you always?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that because I think the film deals with so many themes of abandonment, you know. There's a moment where Gage says to Suze, well, I'm going to butcher this, but like, you know, we have a lot in common or something. And she says, oh yeah, like what? And he's like, we were both abandoned by the same person, meaning Suze's daughter. And I realized that Suze was abandoned by her husband and ex-husband. And so was her daughter. So they share that. And then Suze abandoned herself. I mean, she completely abandoned herself. And Gage did the big act of abandoning himself at one point and was about to do it again. And so this really is about abandonment, but boy, is it a funny movie also.
Yeah, sounds really funny.
I know. It doesn't sound it.
But
it
is. It is.
But it really is.
At least the trailer is very funny. Michaela, I feel that a lot of roles, some of the most interesting roles for women, particularly women of a certain age, go to your pal, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And it's funny because you're there was an article on Vanity Fair on how alike you are. And you are good friends, aren't you?
We are now, yeah, because we just played sisters and we get along like gangbusters, which helps when you're friends with somebody that you like them. And we like each other a lot. She's somebody I feel silly because she's somebody I've just always wanted to work with and I just adore her. And I think she's so funny. And I think she's so kind and so smart. And I love her taste. And we have a lot in common. So I was right about that. Sometimes you don't want to meet the people that you really look up to and, you know, want to model your career after. But in this case, she's maybe the exception that proves the rule that you shouldn't meet your... I don't know. I don't know how to finish that sentence. But I will say that she is as dreamy as you would think she would be.
Yeah. She's our dream girl for sure.
It's amazing how many people love her. So it's nice to hear from you that maybe she's worth it. But I'm fascinated by the theme of that movie, which is, I guess, a very fundamental thing in relationships, which is that she overhears her husband saying that he actually hated her book.
Oh, you're talking about You Hurt My Feelings.
You Hurt My Feelings. Yeah. So the movie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus that you were in. And I just wondered, and now you love your husband. So, but does he tell you the truth? Does he actually say, well, you actually really sucked in that? Not that you ever did, of course.
I hope he tells me the truth. I hope he's been telling me the truth. When I think about it, I'm like, how could he possibly? And he's very, not a good liar either. So I feel like maybe he is telling me the truth. I think what he does well is he finds ways to tell me the truth in a not hurtful way. I think overhearing your husband say that they hate your latest book, like happens in the Nicole Holofcener Center movie, You Hurt My Feelings, I think that is very hurtful and awful, especially I think it's the betrayal that he didn't tell her he didn't like it. It's that he kept saying that it was good and he lied to her to be encouraging. And I think that sounds like a kind thing to do, But it, in the end, it was more hurtful than anything else because, and then it caused her great insecurity because if he's willing to lie, what else is he lying about in terms of her work? And with my husband, he's not an actor. He's not in entertainment. And he did not know how to talk to an actor after a very vulnerable performance of something. And I think we had a tiff one time early in our relationship because he came to see something and he said to me, he goes, well, that's what you think. And I was very insecure about the performance. It was a live show. And he said, you know, I didn't hate it. And I was like, you didn't hate it?
I didn't hate it.
You didn't hate it? We're already at, you didn't hate it. We're going to start there and go from there. And he was like, he was so confused. But why he was confused was because I kept telling him, I'm not that good. I'm not good, that good in it. Meaning that he's supposed to, I'm preparing him to be very disappointed so that when he sees it, he doesn't think it's the worst thing. And what he was saying to me was, no, I'm saying I didn't hate it. Like you said, I was going to hate it. I'm saying I didn't hate it.
So he was being supportive.
He was being supportive. I didn't hate it. But yeah, it didn't go over great.
Yeah, I remember the first time I filed for the national news, which to me was like a huge thing. And the person said, yeah, it's fine.
It was a huge thing, Wendy.
It said, it's fine. And I'm like, fine? It's fine? Couldn't yeah, you say fine. I didn't hate it?
Yeah, you say fine to somebody, you might as well say you hated it.
Hey there. Just so you know, Mo and I are not just the queens of podcasting.
I'm not sure we're even that, but do go on.
We're not part-time cowgirls.
We just made that up.
But we are writers. We're writers.
Wendy and I write a newsletter on Substack. It's a weekly roundup of thoughts and experiences, sometimes serious, often not.
Yeah, you're pretty funny. You write about falling down a lot. You write about your dog.
I do. You write about sex and politics and COVID.
All very, very serious things. We have a few thousand subscribers, both free and paid.
And you could be one of them if you'd like. Just go to Substack.com and look us up by name or go to our website at womenofillrepute.com and sign up there. We'd love to meet you there.
And now back to being the queens of podcasting.
Yeah, sure.
The Women of Ill Repute.
We're all performers of different styles, and insecurity is part of it. It's an occupational hazard. I think, and I'm going to go way back and ask you about your brief, all too brief, because you were two seasons on Saturday Night Live.
One. Briefer than my brief. Yeah.
Really? But there's some fine, fine people who've only put a year in there.
I was the bikini cut of SNL people.
That must have been brutal, though, because it's just such a pinnacle for so many people.
Yeah. I mean, it's a double-edged brutal because on the one hand, you're like, wow, I got to do the thing. On the other hand, you're like, but I didn't get to do it very long.
Jenny Slater was only there briefly, but there were some good people that came through and came out the other end and went on to other things. So it's a badge of honor still.
Yeah. I mean, I think in retrospect, you know, I was there probably the right amount of time. I like all the things I got to do after, especially meeting my husband. But I don't know if I would have if I had stayed there. And he's my favorite role, you know, being married to him is what I mean. But I enjoyed it very much. I was older than any other female cast members ever were at that point. And I think it's one thing to be on the show as in your 20s. And I think it's a very different thing to be in your show in your late 30s starting because it's not a typical show. And it operates in a very different way than the way I'm used to, which is, I think it comes from the top. I think there's sort of a tension there that is not, I don't think, the most conducive to creativity, but I didn't mind it. You know, I was willing to go along to get along, but in retrospect, it probably wouldn't have been the greatest environment for me because I'm definitely one of those people that thrives in positivity.
Yeah, well, positivity is so important. It's making me think about how, you know, I've done some public speaking and people say that confidence is the most important thing. And it is, you have to feel confident. So I don't know whether you're more confident in your 20s or in your 30s when you're on SNL or whether you get more confident when you get older.
For me, it's when I get older. I did not have confidence when I was younger.
You know what doesn't disappear with age is being funny. You know, funny people stay funny to the end.
They just get funnier, if you ask me.
They get funnier. They smell funnier. I know that. So, yeah, you found, especially in the last year, because you've been so busy, probably busier than you ever have been in your career, unless I'm mistaken.
No, I've not been busy. We've been on strike the whole year.
Oh, I mean, yeah, yeah, there's that.
This is like the least busy I've ever been.
The year before that, because had three movies come out.
Yeah, I was on a roll. I was on a crazy roll where it's back to back to back to back to back. And even with this movie, Suze, we were shooting the sex scene or whatever, and we had to shoot it so fast because I had to get on the next flight out of Toronto to make it back to Los Angeles to fly to England for 5 months the next day.
So do you have tricks to make it happen, the sex scene, to make it happen really quickly?
I don't, we have to see the movie. Who has sex? It's not you and Gage.
No, I'm not telling you who's having sex or not having sex or trying to have sex or whatever sex.
Or the tricks.
The tricks are, you know, nobody, no actors want sex scenes to shoot for long. You're always like, all right, let's wrap this up. Let's go.
You both have ADHD.
Oh, dear.
Well, you put that in your notes. I'm looking at Wendy's notes here. And is that true, Michaela?
That is 100% true.
I'm trying to get your attention.
I know. I'm sorry. What was the question?
How does that impact? I mean, I could ask you this too, Wendy, but I know how it impacts you.
I just want to say that you are very, Maureen, you are very, very brave to partner up with an ADHD person in a business venture.
Oh, I know.
Venture.
Hey.
I know.
You're like, I'm right here. Yes, Wendy, you are, but I speak for Maureen.
Well, let me tell you about Maureen.
I have my own issues. Of course I do.
ADHD, I mean, it's fascinating because I don't know, I find everybody else really slow, but other people find that I have trouble like focusing on certain things for a long time. So I'm just wondering what it's been like for you suffering from, well, or enjoying ADHD.
Well, I think I'm in the right career. You know, I think being an actor is the exact sweet spot for someone with ADHD because we don't have that thing that keeps us from wandering into all the other little imaginative rooms in our head. And we'll just think like, what if, well, what if, well, what if, you know, and sure, it makes you a little anxious. And sure, it makes you a little catastrophic thinking can happen. But you know what? It makes us interesting and fun people to hang out with. Do we tell a story for way too long? Yeah. Do we lose our keys while doing it? 20 times. But at the end of the day, we can like completely micro-focus like nobody's business.
So now is when I get to tell you about Mo?
Oh, what about me? What about me?
No.
I'm the opposite of ADHD.
Yeah, no, you
I'm hyper-focused.
Yeah.
I do like telling a story, though, and I was reading about you, and most of your stories are usually told over, or you prefer to tell them over a few drinks, and I have actually, and Wendy has witnessed it, been in the middle of a story and completely lost, I lost everybody, but I got to keep going, because you can't just stop, right? You can't just say, all right, I'm out of here. You got to soldier through. You got to find your end, and everyone's like, whatever. That's because you're all ADHD. You weren't focused on me. You told a story that made me laugh out loud when I was reading about it, about getting a lip peel or something before you had an audition.
I just talked about it today. That's so funny. My friend said to me, friends, they're great. I love my friends. But one friend said to me right before I was about to do my first TV job, you know, oh, you know, you have a little peach fuzz on your, you have like a mustache. You should probably get that waxed. Nobody ever told me I had a mustache. I don't have a mustache. But she just kind of caught it. I don't know why. And I went and got it done and they burnt the hell out of me. They burnt the holy Christ out of my face. And I went to go to work on my first TV job, and I'm explaining to the makeup artist that I don't have some horrible STD, that I have just like this open wound on my lip is from third degree burns. I don't think she believed me.
Well, now I'm looking carefully. I don't see any mustache.
Well, because I don't have one. I don't have one. I never did, but she made me nervous. And I felt like, well, if I'm going to be on TV and the TV picks up everything, you know, that whole gambit.
The things we do. I had an eyebrow wax once where she ripped off, same story, and she just pulled off my skin. And I was pretty sure that she had, and she just sort of went, oh, and then left.
Left?
Well, she had to go do something else, and it didn't come out until later, right? Like I could feel it. And then by the time I got home, you could see that she'd torn off the screen. And I was too, you know, I'm Canadian. I wasn't going to tell anybody.
I was very Canadian in how I responded to.
You paid. You paid for that.
I paid and I thanked her.
That is very Canadian.
Michaela, you've been great. And I'm glad that you're not just the underappreciated. You're like the star of the show. So it's,
Thank you.
It's great.
Suze, it looks fantastic. We have to see it, if only to find out who doesn't or does have sex, but you are a delight.
Go to the theater to find out who does or doesn't have sex, but stay for the good story.
Okay, we will. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I hope you have a wonderful sunny day here in Toronto.
So Maureen, you actually lost internet or something like halfway through? That
yeah,
was so weird.
No, but when you listen back to this, that will have been fixed. But there was a moment where you guys were frozen. And I mean, we have technical problems. You wouldn't know it because we sound so smooth and professional. But yeah, that happens. And for the record, I am the technician on this little production.
Well, you're a wizard. You're a technical wizard, obviously.
I am the last person who should be doing that. But anyway, better me than you because you're ADHD and you wouldn't be able
well, who
to
knew?
Keep all
yeah.
the balls
no,
in my
head. Minor.
Do you know what you do that I think is kind of endearing? And this kind of reminds me of my kids, and it has to do with ADHD. Not that my kids have that. You think I know what you're thinking. And I do. That's the scary thing. You'll mention something out of the blue, and I'll kind of know how you got there. I mean, that's from doing this show with you and spending time with you. But I think it's kind of sweet. But it's also until I realize that, you know, don't you find I say to you a lot, Wendy, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, it's something that people have said to me over time. She's fascinating.
Yes, she is.
What I wanted to talk to her, and you realize this after the fact, she says that she's an empath and can't watch horror movies. And me too. Like I always want to, well, did Beth marry Joe in the end? And Liam's
is that
like,
a horror? Is that a horror movie?
No. But it's like you don't get to know what happens because it's not real life. It's TV. And I'm like, oh. So I didn't know that was what an empath is, but apparently.
I thought an empath was somebody who just felt things.
Well,
strongly.
That's what I thought.
Really? But an empath, according to this, is someone who doesn't distinguish between
reality, yeah.
romance and horror.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just me. Well, let's blame it on the ADHD.
All right. We've been all over the place today, but Michaela Watkins is just a delight, and she's a fantastic actor. And the movie's called Suze. And it's coming soon to a theater near you. And I've only seen the trailer, but the trailer looks fantastic. A lot of great Canadian actors in there, too. So, you know, get out there and see it.
Yes, ma'am.
Women of Ill Repute was written and produced by Maureen Holloway and Wendy Mesley, with the help from the team at the Sound Off Media Company and producer Yet Belgraver. What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.